What is up, everybody? Tuesday, April the 20th, also known as 420, which for some reason is a day where everybody's supposed to smoke weed. I'm not quite sure why, but hey, whatever. Man, so interesting day today. I just had to do this podcast before going to bed. So as you know, I've been talking about this loser friend from my past who, you know, just always manipulating people, taking advantage of people. And now it's kind of caught up to him, right? He's finding himself in his mid-40s. Nothing to his life. He hasn't had a relationship or even dated a girl in over 2 decades. Flunked out of university, never got his degree. You know, all that fun stuff. You know, variety of substance abuse issues and, you know, dwindling friend pool. Basically, nobody puts up with the shit anymore, so now he's on this little apology tour, apologizing to me and my friends, who he, for some reason, thinks are his friends, but anyway. So, today was interesting. I've been ignoring him for the large part, because when I think back on all the shit he did, it just kind of stirs negativity within me, and, you know, at this stage in my life, it's always, you know, I'm just at a point where my time's so valuable, I don't want to waste it on anybody. And I don't want anybody in my circle or in my life that is a negative. And he brings back negative memories. We had good times, sure. But it's interesting, as you grow older and you look back on events and people, you start seeing them for what they really were. But when you're younger, you don't really have that knowledge base to really understand what's going on fully. And that's why you get taken advantage of when you're younger. And, you know, you look back and, you know, you've heard the expression a million times, like, hindsight's 20/20, or if I knew then, would I know now? So anyways, you know, as I mentioned in my last podcast with Jason, this all came to a head kind of 2017. I went to Ottawa for a friend's wedding, and I didn't tell him that I went to Ottawa because, well, he's a loser, and I had no intention of seeing him. I was done with my friendship with him because I didn't want to go through the same song and dance of planning to see him and then him flaking on me and whatever. I was going there and I wanted to see my friends that I wanted to see and that deserved my time. And so, you know, he found out I was there in 2017, and he found out that I didn't tell him I was going, so he threw a fit and he got upset and he's telling me never to talk to him again, this, that, and the other, which I didn't quite understand because I wasn't talking to him anyway. So it's kind of like you quitting a job and on your way out the door, your employer telling you, well, you can't quit, you're fired. No, I just quit. So anyways, fast forward to these last few years, you know, shithead has been texting me constantly and, you know, texting me and calling me. And despite that, I've always kind of ignored all of his calls, all of his text messages, because frankly, I just didn't have time to put up with his bullshit, his constant lies about his dealings in China, which he's never done, and whatever else. But today I thought I would have a little bit of an experiment. So, you know, as we all know, and I told you, on Saturday, he tried to reach out to me to apologize for all the shit he claimed he had done. But when I read his apology, it didn't resonate with me. It didn't make me feel anything. And the reason it didn't make me feel anything is because I thought to myself, how can this guy really apologize to me and be sincere if I've never really called him out on all the shit that he's done to me? Like, essentially, what is he really apologizing for, right? And frankly, because he's a pathological liar, I really had no particular reason to believe his apology because it came out of nowhere. So with that being said, I kind of wasn't going to answer him, but yesterday I responded to him and I kind of called him out. And oddly enough, when he started replying today while I was at the gym, and I made the mistake of reading his replies, and I was like, it started making me really fucking pissed off. Because, you know, when you're arguing with, the problem with arguing with terrorists and psychopaths is that nothing they say makes sense. And as a logical person, it's impossible to have discussions with people like this because they just keep scope shifting. They keep changing the subject. And so when I was calling him out today on in our Facebook Messenger conversation, if you will, his response to me talking about the shit he did was, well, I listened to you when you were a friend airing your grievances about your brother or something else. And I'm thinking, what does you listening to me complain about something when we're friends have to do with all the shit that you did negatively towards me? That's like saying, I told you the sun is hot. Like, it has nothing to do with anything. Like, what are you implying? What are you trying to imply, fat boy? Like, are you trying to imply that, what, you fucking me over is justified by the fact that I complained about my brother to you? Like, that's what friends do. They listen to each other. But the problem is, asshole, you don't know what a friend is, do you? Because all you know is manipulation and using people to your benefit. So, you know, I started getting pissed off at the gym listening to this fucking idiot write just absolute nonsense. And I just said, you know, I told him, you know, stop fucking texting me. It's the middle of the day. I'm actually working. I wasn't actually working, by the way, I was at the gym. But I'm like, I'm actually working. That's all. That's a dig to him because he hasn't had a job in over 2 decades. Nobody will hire him. Oh, here's a funny story. He did have a job about 22 years ago, and wait, sorry, no. He had a job about 16 years ago. He got a job driving for a company called Edible Arrangements. Some guy decided to open up a franchise, and Edible Arrangements, if you're not familiar with it, basically they sell fruit ensembles, if you will. So if somebody's having a wedding or like a birthday, you can call them up, an anniversary, you can call them up, and what they'll do is they will send a beautiful fruit basket, if you will, of like fresh cut fruit and stuff to whoever you want. They're really nice, actually. And this guy got a job, first time in forever, he finally got a job driving for them. His first day on the job, what does he do? He's a fucking chain smoker, by the way. What does asshole do on his first day on that job? I kid you not. He fucking smokes in the van, which is carrying all this cut, exposed fruit. So what ends up happening? This is how selfish, this is how incredibly narcissistic this fuck is, okay? He starts smoking in the van because he's a chain smoker with a van full of fruit. Obviously, what's going to happen? The fucking fruit is going to smell like goddamn cigarette smoke. Because if anybody's been around cigarette smokers, they stink. They fucking stink. And if you're around a cigarette smoker, you stink. Your clothes stink. Like, the poisons in the fucking cigarettes cling to everything. And so, of course, first day in a stupid job, the owner, this poor guy that's trying to start a new business, he gets calls from the customer saying, hey man, your fruit fucking tastes like and smells like smoke, cigarette smoke. So of course, you know, Chaitin almost gets fired. That's his real name. It's not Jason, it's Chaitin. I call him Jason to protect his identity, but he can go fuck himself. His name's Chaitin. So he ends up like almost getting fired. And when I hear the story, I mean, like, I don't even know what to say. I'm like, you talk about selfish. You're not even selfish. You're just an asshole. You know, forget about you and your cigarette smoking. Like, did you ever think that what you're doing is affecting this motherfucking guy's business? Did you ever think you're ruining the nice event? Like, that for getting a fruit basket, a fruit arrangement, is usually for a celebratory thing, like a baby shower or like an anniversary. And they're getting this nice thing and they bite into their chocolate-dipped strawberries and it's tasting like cigarette smoke because you can't keep your fucking cigarettes out of your mouth. And no remorse. Like, I remember when he was bitching to me about that owner almost firing him, he was trying to fault the owner. Right? He's one of these deflecting. And so, sorry I said that word. I really do not mean that in a derogatory way. My friends are all gay. And they say that all the time to me. So, anyways. So, I decide, man, I just cool off. I don't answer. You know, I just say, I just tell this fucking idiot. I said, stop texting me. I'm in the fucking, I'm working. You know, I'm actually working in the middle of the day. So he starts saying, let's talk later. So I don't answer him. And so I'm with this dilemma of do I just fucking ghost this asshole and block him? Or do I talk to him? Then he starts sending me more messages and it's like, but it just shows you what a dick he is, right? Because here I am telling him, stop messaging me because I'm at work. And his reply is to keep messaging me. Like, this should lay the foundation for you guys as to what kind of person this is. So it's getting late where I am. And anyways, let me kind of, I'm going to follow up in a minute. But what ends up happening is I get to the evening and now he's messaging me again saying he wants to talk. And so I have to make this tough decision. Do I just fucking ghost this fat fuck? Or do I call him and get shit off of my chest? And I don't know what the answer is. At that time, I didn't know what the answer was because part of me wanted to get revenge on him. And I was trying to figure out what would be more hurtful and dehumanizing. Is it to just ignore him completely and never respond to him? Or for my own sake, for me to move on mentally from this guy? Because clearly I'm still harboring negative emotions, because when I think about the stuff he does or has done, it brings back negative feelings in me. So while I'm certainly over and have terminated that friendship as of years and years ago, there's still some sort of energy left in me about this asshole. Because when I think about the things he did, it still stirs something in me. And so as an experiment, I thought maybe I should talk to him so I can tell him everything he's done over the years, so he can apologize for each one of them. And even if he doesn't, at least I fucking told him off and told him about those things. And so I wasn't sure what the best course of action is. So, you know, leave it to me to consult my coach, the Punisher, because I trust that guy's judgment implicitly. And, you know, I talked to him and he's, you know, we're debating what would be the rationale for it. And we decided that if the rationale was for me, not him, but not for him to apologize, but for me to do some healing, then I should do it. And if the conversation went down a path of him trying to gaslight me and lie about things and deny, then I should just end the conversation and move on. And so I decided to make the call. So if you know me by now and you've listened to my other podcasts here, you know that I'm a super analytical and cerebral guy. So while the average person would just pick up the phone and call this guy, I actually decided to plan. I got my buddy the Punisher on the line because, you know, as I said, he's my coach. He was kind of advising me whether I should even call this idiot or not. And, you know, I thought it would be good to have him on the line with me when I called Chaitin. Why? Because, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the moment. Especially me, I can get emotional and heated real quick. And especially a guy like Chaitin, who really knows how to push my buttons with his pathological lying and his sociopathic tendencies, I thought it would be prudent to have the Punisher on the line. Now, Punisher was going to stay on the line with his phone muted, so Psycho over there wouldn't even know he was there. And I thought it would also be helpful to have Punisher on the line so that he could text me and kind of advised me to just, look, get off the line. The conversation isn't going in the right direction. And I thought it would also be good to have him so that after the conversation was over with Chaitin, you know, we could do a recap and, you know, he could kind of, you know, criticize me or critique my performance, if you will. And also, you know, give me his blunt opinion on whether the psycho is really out of line or if I'm just looking at things through you know, skewed glasses because of my bias. So I decided to make the call. And at first I called Punisher, put him on, you know, he put himself on mute, and then I called Chaitin. So just to recap, I haven't called Chaitin in years. Ever since the whole you know, at a big party down here in the States, and he didn't come way back in what, 2014. And I really didn't give a shit that he didn't come, frankly. I just didn't like the fact that he lied about it. He kept lying, saying he's, "Oh, I'm coming, I'm coming." And you know, the party I was holding was expensive. I had to pay a lot of money per guest, and I decided not to. I didn't really hold the seat open for him, if I'm being honest, because by then I was on to what a liar he was. I knew he would never make it because, well, he's broke. He doesn't have two fucking nickels strapped together. But I didn't. I just wanted to kind of experiment back in 2014 and see if he would come. But I knowing he would never come, I wasn't stupid enough to hold the seat open for him. But I was curious about his behavior, and sure enough, like for months he promised, "Oh, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming." And then like 2 days before, he calls me and he's like, "Oh, I can't come anymore. I have a dermatologist appointment." I'm like, "Bitch, you were never coming, because it's not like you'd buy a plane ticket the day before. If you were really coming, you would have bought a plane ticket months ago." Back to today. So I decide to make the call. Even though I haven't talked to this guy and I've been avoiding him for years, he answers the phone right away because he's the one that wants to talk, right? Not me. I'm there to like just see what he has to say. So right away I call, and you know, it's just like, "Oh, hey." And I'm like as though nothing's wrong, and I'm thinking, but you know, I'm not hiding anything. I'm like, "Hey." And so right away I jump in it. I'm like, "What do you have to say?" Nothing nice on my end. He's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" I'm like, "Well, you want to apologize, but frankly, I don't believe it. Because how can you apologize to me when I don't fully understand, or pardon me, when I don't believe that you fully understand what you're even apologizing for?" And so I was like, so I'm like, "What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna tell you all the things that you've done wrong over the years, and you're gonna apologize for each one of them if you're sincere in your intentions." And so, and here's the tricky part. As I kind of give this preamble, he keeps talking over me. Like literally, like I'm telling you this right now on the podcast, but in reality, and you know, in retrospect, I really fucking wish I had recorded this whole thing so I could literally post it on this podcast for you to listen to. So you guys out there could listen to what a sociopath sounds like. 'Cause it's fascinating, right? Like I didn't understand what sociopaths were, and like the mental disorder that it kind of is. I didn't understand what any of that stuff is. But anyway, back to the story. So, you know, as I'm trying to explain, like he's, what did I, like while I'm trying to, the whole time I'm trying to explain this to him, how the conversation is going to go, he just keeps talking over me. He's like, "What are you talking about? Why are you being negative?" Blah, blah, blah. And like, I swear to God, like I'm surprised the Punisher didn't even hang up, because it was so convoluted at the beginning, because he kept trying to talk over me. And I kept telling this guy, I'm like, "Stop talking over me. You want to apologize. And yet you, from as soon as you pick up the phone, you keep talking over me. You're not even letting me finish a sentence." Like, so the first 3 minutes were kind of okay, but then it went downhill really fast. Like I literally almost hung up. I literally said to him, I started yelling at him, which I never yell, but I yelled. I said, "Shut the fuck up. I'm fucking talking." And I finally just said, I'm like, "Here's the deal. You keep talking over." Then he would say, okay, fine, talk, talk, talk. I won't interrupt you." And then literally 2 seconds later, he'd start interrupting me. So I got to the point where I just said, "I'm not fucking gonna keep talking if you're gonna keep interrupting me." And he kept talking. And I'm like, "Stop. If you keep interrupting me, I'm literally gonna hang up this phone and I'm never gonna talk to you again. I'm gonna block your number." He's like, "Okay, well, if you're gonna be like that," and I'm like, "Okay, so I'm gonna hang up the phone in 5 seconds." He's like, okay, great, just talk, talk, talk. And then sure enough, within 5 seconds, he was back to interrupting me. So I just finally got him, like I finally got him under control. And it was interesting because I think he didn't, not I think, he didn't expect this version of me. In his mind, and the mind of the sociopath that he is, and the drug and alcohol abuser that he thought that he could still somehow manhandle me and dominate me and manipulate me like he did over the many years that I knew him. And that's why he's left friendless and clueless nowadays in his life, because as everybody's grown up, they've matured mentally, everybody sees through his bullshit, which is why everybody's, you know, he's kind of crawling back to, old friends trying to see if he could like salvage anything from anybody, but now everybody's moved on with their lives and they see him for the loser he is. So I start off with this. I start off with Exhibit A. And I start going through the laundry list of all the times he fucked me over. I start off with the first one, which I remember from long ago, where he left me waiting to be picked up at home when we were supposed to go to the casino. I already told you that story. And he's like, that one was fascinating to me because on that occasion, he left me waiting. He said he was going to come to my house, pick me up in like 15 minutes, and take me to the casino with him so we can hang out that Saturday. And instead, while I got ready and was waiting for him, he just went straight to the casino without me and left me waiting for 2.5 hours, only to call me like 2.5 hours later saying, "Oh, hey, I'm at the casino. I'll be over soon." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, huh?" So we wasted my whole afternoon. So I brought up that story with him or to him the other day during the conversation so he could apologize for that. And when I told him the story, first he claimed he didn't remember it. And then guess what he does? He starts saying that, well, you know what? If you were a good friend, then you should have called me out on that bad behavior. I want you to see how remarkable this is, right? This guy has reached out to me to apologize for all the shit he did and for being a bad friend over the years and being surprised that a guy like me would remain friends with him. And so here I am calling him finally, so that he can actually understand what he's apologizing for. So I'm bringing up all the instances. And here I start with Exhibit A, which is the time he left me waiting for hours without any remorse or apology. And I'm bringing up the story so he could apologize for one of these many things he's done. And his first response is to not remember it happening, number one. But when I actually bring it up, his response is to blame me for it happening by saying I was not a good friend. It makes me a bad friend for not calling him out for doing it. That's the equivalent of an abusive husband telling his abused wife that she makes him hit her, right? Like he's fucked me over, but somehow it's my fault for not calling him out. So I literally said to him, I said, "Ch Chaitin, do you realize how stupid this is? And this is the problem with you? And this is why I don't believe your apology, because let me get this straight." And I told him this. I said, "Let me get this straight. You're telling me that you fuck me over and I'm a bad friend for not calling you out on your bad behavior in the situation?" He's like, "Well, no. You're putting words in my mouth." I'm like, "I'm literally re almost reiterating what you're telling me, because you're saying me not calling you out makes me a bad friend. So how am I putting words in your mouth?" And he's like, "Okay, well, maybe I used the wrong word. Maybe I should use the word friendship." And I'm thinking, dude, even if you were insert the word friendship, it still makes you trying to blame me. And it just shows you the sociopathic mentality, right? Finger point, deflect, blame. I can't, I'll recap what my friend the Punisher thought after. So that's example one. I won't go down the rabbit hole of all of the things that I went over with him. But some of my favorite things I brought up with him were, for example, the time I packed up a car of one of my best friends, my ex-girlfriend at the time, or my girlfriend at the time, now ex-girlfriend, and two other friends who were visiting from Mexico. Just to inform you, when Fat Boy had come and visit me in Mexico, these three girls showed him the time of his life. They took him into their homes like he was one of their family. And they did that as a favor to me, by the way. And they treated him like a guest of honor for the three different times he came down to visit Mexico, okay? But now when they've come up to Canada at the time, he told me, "Hey, why don't you guys come visit in Toronto? You can stay with me." And this is part of one of the worst things he ever did. And I couldn't not bring this up as one of the things that he had to apologize for. I just couldn't, because I think most people would have just ended their friendship with this guy when he did this. So picture this. The summer's like summer of 2000, I believe. These people come up to visit from Mexico. He tells us to go visit him in Toronto. We can stay at his place, et cetera, et cetera. Now,
just to preface it, this is in the days before, being able to have internet on your cell phone where you could quickly book a hotel on the fly and have, a map and GPS at your fingertips to find your way around. So all, 2 weeks we planned this trip. All of us rent a car. We spend money to rent a car, pack our bags. It's like a 5-hour drive from Ottawa to Toronto on a Friday. And, we're now driving in Toronto. By the way, none of us know Toronto very well at that time. None of us lived there. We hadn't been there often. We didn't know our way around. We didn't have GPS in the car like you have nowadays. And, as we're getting into Toronto, it's already late. It's like, 9, 9:30, whatever. And I hadn't heard from Chaitin yet. And I'm getting a little bit nervous, but at the same time, I couldn't fathom that somebody would fuck us over like to that degree, right? And sure enough, I finally get a hold of this guy when we're like 45 minutes out of town, out of, getting into Toronto. And I finally get a hold of him and he's like, "Oh yeah, hey, yeah, man, I'm just at work, working a bit late." And I'm like, right away I knew something was wrong, 'cause I'm like, he's making no inclination of meeting us at his place or even telling us his exact address or anything. And I'm like, "Wait, what's going on here?" And so he's like, "Yeah, I don't think you guys should stay with me. My place is really messy. It's just not going to be, you guys aren't going to be comfortable." And I am like, I don't even know what to say. I'm left speechless because I'm like, dude, there are five human beings on their way. They relied on your promise to stay at your place. And now at the last minute, like literally the last minute, late at night, you're telling us, you're pretending like you never even made the promise, and you're just fucking us all over. And so, man, I can't even believe he had done that to us. Like he basically said we couldn't stay at his place anymore without any real excuse. And so you can imagine us like scrambling around trying to find, now at the last minute, driving around Toronto, which is a huge city, by the way, trying to figure out where to stay, walking into hotels, asking them if they had rooms. How much they were. Like, it was so embarrassing, man. Especially with these three girls with us, who had shown him, pure hospitality when he was there, only for him to reciprocate by fucking them over, and us, me and my friend over too. And so I had to bring that up. And it was amazing because when I brought it up the other day, he couldn't remember. Again, like everything I brought up in this conversation with him, it was the same answer. It was like, "I don't remember that happening, so I can't apologize for it because I don't remember it happening." And this was his response to everything. "I don't remember it happening, so how can I apologize? I don't remember it happening, so how can I apologize?" And like he starts negotiating with me about the, and I'm like, I'm not letting this one go, because I said to him, "Dude, if you had done that to anybody else, especially these three girls, and after everything they had done for you, and I said, he's like, "Well, I don't think it happened. I think you're misremembering." And I'm thinking, how can I misremember something like that? And I said, "You know what? Don't even ask me. Don't take my word for it. Why don't you reach out to our friend Jeff?" Our friend Jeff, really one of my friends, but friends with him too, kind of, although he's sick and tired of his shit too. My friend Jeff was with me when we got fucked over by this guy. So I'm like, "Ask Jeff. He's an independent third party. Go ask him." He's like, "Well, that doesn't make sense. What year was that?" And he's like, "I would have never let you guys stay with me because I only had like one extra room. Like, what were you guys going to do? All s sleep in the same room, five of you?" And I'm like, "Dude, I don't fucking know. You're the one that invited us to stay with you. I don't know what c accommodation plan you had, for us." And it was fascinating because I didn't want to let this one go, right? Because this was, I explained to him, like, "Dude, imagine you've so many times you wanted to come to LA. Imagine." I said, "Yeah, come on to LA. You buy a ticket. You fly down, and then when you get to the airport and you call me, I just say, 'Oh, I'm busy. Why don't you just take an Uber to my house?' And now you have to fucking get an Uber, unexpected, after a long flight. And then when you're 10 minutes from my house, I call you up and say, 'Ah, you know what? My house is messy. You can't stay with me.' And now add to that, pretend you're with three other people. And now on top of that, pretend you don't have a cell phone so you can't just like go independently book a hotel. Like, do you know how fucking disgraceful that is and how disgusting that behavior would have been? Now that's what you did. And again, you know, he tried to like, he said, okay, well, fine. If, you know, if I did that, I'm sorry, but I think that never happened, or maybe you're omitting facts or something like that. And I said, okay, if I'm omitting facts, you know what that means? That means even you listening to that behavior now is so disgusting to you and so unbelievable that you yourself present day can't believe you did that. So you're acknowledging how disgusting that is. I said, what on earth motivation do I have to make that up? Like, and he doesn't know what to say. And then I get there were a lot of examples, but I'll give you guys one more because I don't want to bore you all to death. But then I brought up, you know, another example of the time he, you know, he wanted to try to dip into my line of credit and he wanted me to lend him $10,000 because he was too lazy to go get a job. Like, he used to sit at home all day eating McDonald's and watching TV and manipulating people, right? And that's why he was always broke. So when he found out I had a line of credit after I finished slaving away to pay it off, by the way, I worked a full-time job that didn't pay well and, you know, wasn't making much money at that time. And I accidentally let slip over the phone one night to him that, oh man, I finally paid off this line of credit. It took me forever. I feel like a free man finally. Cause I'd been trying to start a business at the time on the side and I decided I wasn't going to pursue it any longer and I had to pay this thing back. So I actually accidentally let slip to him one night while I was living in Toronto that I had paid off this line of credit. And as soon as I let those words slip, I knew I had made a mistake because I just told a financially incompetent idiot and a manipulator that I had access to some money. And right away, he's like, hey, can I borrow $10,000? And that night, this is, you know, so many years ago, he tried to pressure me into lending him $10,000 with the promise that he would pay it back. And if he was going to give me some shitty jewelry from his mom as collateral, like, yeah, okay, that's a fair trade. Cause if you don't pay me back, I'm going to drive around town pawning garbage jewelry. Like, I mean, who the fuck, honestly, whoever's listening out there, my loyal listeners, who the hell in their early 20s, like we're talking 21, 22 years old, who the hell asks somebody else to use $10,000 of their line of credit when they themselves could fucking go and they're not working, they're not doing anything because they just don't feel like it. So I brought up that story to him about how he tried to use me for money and how he like he knew I was stressed out, like, and he didn't want to get a job. Like, I just used that example of like, man, like, who the fuck does that? You know, like, and you tried to guilt trip me over it for a week. Like, you kept pressuring me to do it. And once again, his response the other day was, when we called him out on it to get an apology, his response was, oh, I don't remember doing that. And then he goes from, he doesn't remember doing that to, well, if I did that, it was for a business opportunity. And he kept saying, it was for business. It was for business. And I'm thinking, let me get this straight. You wanted me to give you $10,000 for a business? What business? Like, he had no business, number one. And number two is he never asked me. So now he's trying to like rewrite the stars, right? He's trying to rewrite history saying, well, I didn't ask you for $10,000 ever. But if I did, it was for me to start a business, which I would have invited you to be part of. You would have been part owner. I'm like, dude, you're just making all this shit up now. Like, you didn't ask me for $10,000 to invest in a business of yours. That wasn't what it was at all. You just wanted $10,000 for who knows what. And on top of that, and he kept saying, it's interesting in this particular conversation, he just kept bringing up as a defense, it was for business, it was for business, it was for business. And I'm like, who gives a shit what it was for? The point is you asked me for it and then you pressured me to do it and then you guilt tripped me when I didn't do it. And that's the kind of guy you were back then. And you still are probably. And he kept saying, but it was for business. It's different. And I finally said, dude, I'm not a fucking bank. I wasn't a fucking bank then. And I'm not a fucking bank now. So I don't know why you keep bringing up this thing as though it was for business, as though that somehow excuses your behavior. And, you know, it goes back to the, well, okay, well. So anyways, you know, we go through this gamut of all these different things he had done over the years. Because again, if you're genuine and sincere in an apology, you should know what the fuck you're apologizing to somebody for, straight up. And that was my big problem with this fake apology from his big email the other night, his message, is that how can you apologize when you don't know what you're fucking apologizing for? And I just wanted to, I wasn't even trying to pour salt in his wounds. I just wanted to get shit off of my chest that probably I'd been harboring for a while and be able to kind of tell him off at the same time and tell him all the shit that I had always wanted to tell him in those moments, but was too weak back way back then. And, you know, he just, you know, that's how the conversation went. It was like, I don't remember it. I can't, so I can't really apologize. So I kept pounding this stuff into him. I brought up a few other things that he had done, you know, so I brought up, as you mentioned, I already mentioned, I brought up the casino thing, the Toronto thing where he fucked all of us over. I brought up, and he kept saying, here's what's weird about the guy. Like, even going back to the Toronto thing, he kept bringing up like, what do you mean? I showed you guys around town. I was a great host. And I'm thinking, he kept bringing up this weird thing. I don't know where he got it from. He kept saying, I was a great host. I'm a great host. I'm like, great host? What planet are you on? It shows how delusional people can be, right? Like, he kept bringing up this thing about what a great host he was when he totally fucked us over and left us out to hang out to dry that night. And, like, the next day, he calls us. This is my rewinding back to the Toronto story. Then in real life, like, the next day, he called us late in the morning. He's like, hey, guys, stay where you are. I'm going to come over. And it's like, all the girls are pissed off at that point. Me and my friend Jeff were pissed off. And it's like, what, now he wants us to wait for him? Like, you know, dude, we're here for, like, a couple nights. We don't give a shit. We're not going to wait for anything. And, like, that's your version. Like, it just shows you how delusional a sociopath is, right? Like, he fucked. And this is what he was even doing in this conversation when he kept trying to talk over me, right? Like, they try to rewrite history. And I have a very good memory. And it's fascinating that he doesn't remember it, so it didn't happen. Whereas, and here's a guy who has a drug addiction and alcohol abuse problem, but he doesn't remember it, so it didn't happen. But me, the guy with a fantastic memory and no substance abuse issues, my memory's foggy, but his isn't. Okay, got it. So, you know, as we kind of got to the end of the conversation, I more or less said what I wanted to. You know, he finally started buckling. Oddly enough, like, we finally got to a point where he's like, you know what, man, he's like, I'm fucked up, as in he is. He's like, I'm trying to see a psychiatrist. I'm trying to get counseling or a psychologist. You know, I don't know what issues I have. I know I need help. And so we kind of got to this point in the conversation where he just started, you know, he finally said, okay, fine. If I did all those things, I apologize. I'm sorry. You know, that's why I'm trying to get help. I have an appointment with to see a psychiatrist next week, and, you know, I'm sorry for all these things. And I was just letting it fly. I'm like, do you think being, you know, being an only child has anything to do with your behavior? And he's like, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with my behavior. I think a lot of things do, and that's what I'm trying to address now. And I'm trying to, you know, be a better person. And he's like, you know, I just let you know I quit smoking last August. And all I said to that is, good for you. Because to be honest, for the last 20 years, every week he'd be telling me, I'm going to quit smoking next week. I'm going to quit smoking next week. Like, he kept saying it. Like, he was like this, he's in his mind, he's still stuck in this broken record. So I guess he thought I'd be impressed that he finally stopped smoking, but I just don't even care anymore. Because here's the beautiful part. He's like, I mean, now I'm vaping. He's saying now I'm vaping instead. And I'm thinking, so you gave up chain smoking for vaping? Because last time I checked, vaping is just as bad for me as smoking. So I'm like, I don't even know what to say to this guy, right? It's like, hey, I'm not doing cocaine anymore. Now I just do meth. Like, okay, this is how fucked up this guy is, right? But anyways, I'm like, so where do you live now anyway, man? He's like, well, you know, I'm back in my home. I'm back with my mom. And he's like, you know, she had two heart. I don't know if you know this. She had two heart attacks, you know, but I saved... He's like, I saved her life because I convinced her. She didn't want to go to the hospital, but I convinced her to go. And I'm thinking, oh my God, man, I always felt bad for his mom. Cause I like his mom. I think she's in a bad position with him. And, you know, I've always been really sympathetic to his mom. Cause I know she's always been very frustrated with her son. And, you know, I felt really bad when I heard that his mom had a couple of heart attacks, but, you know, it just shows you the sociopathic nature of this guy, right? Like, trying to tell me he saved his mom's life. Like, you know, good for him for convincing his mom to go to the hospital. But, dude, you don't have to toot your own horn like that. So, anyways, that's how this conversation went. You know, he finally gave his apology at the end.
I felt for a moment like there was a denouement, if you will, where he's apologizing and saying he's going to get help, and he's trying to be a better person and all these sorts of things. But here's where it gets interesting. So after I say what I want, the call ends, and I decide to have a, don't forget, the Punisher is on the line on mute the whole time. So I decide to get a play-by-play from the Punisher. I'm like, so what, how do you think this conversation went after I hung up with Chaitin? I ask him. He's like, man, it was getting kind of hairy there. He said, the first 3 minutes I thought the conversation was going to go well, but then it started deteriorating really fast. He's like, I was almost going to like text you on the phone, like while you're on the phone with him, to just to hang up, just to end the call. Because he said the guy, it was incredible how he kept talking over you. And like he just wouldn't let you get a word in edgewise. And every time he said, okay, go ahead, talk, like he would just interrupt you over and over and over. Like it was kind of like, he's like, even for him, the Punisher I'm referring to, even for him, he said it was like a, he said it was like an emotional roller coaster listening to me talk to him, because it was just so frustrating how this guy was just like deflecting and dodging and denying. And like he said, he couldn't even believe that. When he fucked you, when he stood you up that afternoon to go to the casino, like here we are, how many, 2 decades later, he's trying to blame you for being a bad friend for him, standing you up. And so, quite interesting. But so I said, I wanted you there on the phone because since I'm so emotional about the whole thing, that being me, Mr. International, I'm like, I wanted your kind of like third party opinion on how it went, because when you're caught up in the moment, it's hard to be objective. And so he's like, no man, this guy's like, he's like your typical sociopath. He's like, he's got this Donald Trump thing of blame everybody else for what you're doing wrong. And it's just like the lies. He's like, I could see it. I've never met this guy, I've never talked to him, but just listening to him, the way he was talking and trying on the fly to reframe things. But he's like, you got him under control though. He's like, it took a while, but you got him, managed to get him under control. And at the end, I think like the thing got much better, because he finally buckled, and he finally like tried to give you what sounded like a sincere apology, and acknowledge that he's trying to get psychiatric help and this, that, and the other. So this isn't about being right or wrong. So that was his analysis too. So I didn't dream anything. But as I thought about my conversation with Chaitin, something started not sitting right with me. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy said he's getting going to see a counselor or a psychiatrist next week, or like, and then I realized, wait a minute, he said psychiatrist, then he said psychologist, and I'm like, wait, hang on, those are two completely different things. Certainly, you must know which of the two you're seeing. And then it occurred to me, well, wait a minute, this motherfucker's in Ontario, Canada. Ontario's in full lockdown mode. I don't think you can do elective things like seeing psychologists or psychiatrists at the moment, unless he's doing it over video, which he didn't indicate. And I'm like, wait, is that even true? So nonetheless, I was pretty heated afterwards. Like, the body reacts, right? Like my heart was kind of pounding and my body was tense, because of the way the whole conversation started, with the arguing and like the denial and me having to yell at him, to stop interrupting me and this and that and the other. But here's what is interesting. I thought to myself, irrespective of what comes of this or doesn't come of this, I'm glad I got it off my chest. And only time would really tell, meaning like in the next few days, only time would really tell if this was worth it for me. Because remember, I did this for me, not for him. Because I'd clearly been carrying around some baggage from this guy that I wanted to get off my chest. But here's the beautiful part. You're going to love this. About 2 hours after this conversation happened, I start getting a bombardment of text messages from Chaitin. And you're going to love this. He starts bashing me for being holding grudges and brooding. He starts saying what a great friend he is for, despite for me having bitched about, like, airing grievances towards him about a family member of mine and a friend from like 20 years ago. He says what a great host he was, and then he says
he's taking back his apologies because he doesn't remember any of the things I claim he did. And therefore, it's not genuine for him to apologize if he can't remember any of the things that I claim he did. And he claimed that I was exaggerating and inventing the things I was accusing him of doing. So he can't actually apologize because it wouldn't be genuine. And the weird part is he's such a sociopath. The way his text was, he's still calling me bro, and he's trying to like use diplomatic language in the text. And I already deleted it, so I can't even like read it back to you guys. But so let's get this straight. Let me do a quick quick recap for you guys. Reaches out to me a few days ago out of the blue with this apologetic text message, or sorry, Facebook message about what a great friend I've always been. He can't believe a guy like me would be friends with him. He's come to a realization of all the things he did wrong with our friendship, and he wants to apologize, and that's why he wants to talk to me. So when I finally talk to him and I point out all the different things that I need an apology for, he denies the existence of those events. He finally apologizes for them. And then 2 hours later, he decides that I made it all up. He's taking back his apologies. And apparently I'm a bad friend because when we were friends 2 decades ago, I aired grievances towards him about other people. And I don't even understand. And oh, and he was a great host, even though he never once hosted me ever. And I hosted him on 3 different occasions in Mexico where he stayed with me. I took him all around town on 3 separate occasions. And yet he's a great host and I'm a bad friend. And I don't even understand what me talking to him and airing grievances about friend, like mutual friends years ago, I don't even understand what that had to do with him apologizing. Like, but this is what the typical sociopath does, right? They try to deflect. And so there he was, and he was doing it so casually in the text message. He's like, hey bro, good night. You know, great talking with you. And I'm thinking, here you are pathologically lying again. So I was about to, I had crafted this beautiful text message just to rip him in half. And then I kind of consulted with a couple of people. They're like, no, don't reply to him. At this point, you've already told him your part. You've got it off your chest. If this is what, this is how he is, this is exactly the behavior you need to stay away from. It just shows that he hasn't changed at all. And it shows that he was never really contacting you to apologize. He's such a psychopath that what he was really doing was, because he could never get a hold of you because you were just ignoring him for all these years. Because I haven't talked to this motherfucker on the phone in 6-7 years. Because every time he calls me by phone or text messages me, I just ignore him. I just blow him off. And he calls me all the time, right? It just, I don't always recognize, I can't really recognize his number, but I know it's probably him because I have no reason to get phone calls from certain area codes. So this is part of his manipulation. I don't think he realizes I don't think he realizes he's doing it, but what he would, you know, I'm convinced that part of him crafting this long apology to me was actually, believe it or not, to lure me in to picking up a phone and talking to him finally after all these years. Truly, I do believe that. And now that he's gotten back into my life, so he thinks, now he's trying to like rewrite history, and he's like, okay, I got what I want. I got this guy, because now I got him to call me. And so I decided when he sent that text message to me retracting his apology, and I'm not even sure what he was getting at, talking about like being a great host and shit like that, like even though he's never hosted me, quite the opposite, he's fucked me over in hosting me. that's the irony of these psychopaths, right? I didn't reply. Like, I was going to hit send on my reply, which was going to rip him up. And I was just going to I was just basically saying, you know, good luck with your therapy. You fucking deserve, you need it badly. But then I thought, I'm playing right into his hands. And so I just decided, you know what? That's it. I said my piece. So I just blocked him on Facebook Messenger. So he can't even see my profile or contact me no matter how hard he tries. I already deleted him as a friend years and years ago, but and he's tried to add me as a friend Recently, I just deleted that, but he could still, messenger me. So I blocked him from ever contacting me on Facebook or even seeing my profile's existence. I blocked his phone number from being able to text me. And the problem is he always has a new fucking phone number that he calls me with. So I guess as those numbers come in, or he tries to call me, I'm just going to block those too. And so that's where we are. That's where we are with this guy. And you know what? It doesn't really matter to me that he's in his mind, he's trying to rewrite history. I'm just glad I got it off my chest. And in this whole story, which has basically spanned like fuck, man, since the age of like what, 16 with this dumb motherfucker, always trying to make a buck off of me and everybody and manipulating friends. And the span of how many, man, almost like 25 years, that is my punctuation to him. That's the punctuation. That's the end of our whatever relationship we had. For me, personally, I ended this friendship back in, I'm going to say 2014, more or less 2014, when, he promised to come to this party that he didn't come to. That was kind of it for me. But I don't think there was ever an official close to it, except for maybe, 2017 when he was like acting like a little child. But it was interesting too. Now, just I'm talking to you guys. One thing he did say in his final text to me was how he, what a great friend he was and everything like that. But one thing that occurs to me is one thing he did mention is that, he claims he had ended our friendship back in like, he's like, that's why I ended my friendship with you several years ago. And I'm thinking, you ended your friendship with me? And actually, I think he'd said this on the phone too. And I said, dude, you don't have the power to end friendship with me. I stopped talking 2 years ago. Like, what on earth makes you think you ended a friendship with me? I mean, you're the one calling me and texting me all the time to catch up. But yet you're claiming you ended my friendship? Like, you are fucking psycho. So anyways, that was the end of it. But I'm glad I got the closure, because at the end of the day, it wasn't for him. It was for me. And so that's what life is about, isn't it? Life is always about doing things for ourselves. We have to be of service to others sometimes. But when you deal with people like this who are, mental illness, I truly believe he does. In fact, I mean, he's pretty much acknowledged as much. You can't really be of service to these people, because it's like, it's almost like, I guess it is like negotiating with terrorists. And I know that sounds extreme, but it's true. Because you're negotiating and you're talking with people that just can't think straight. And you're trying to rationalize things with them and be logical with them. And they're busy, trying to point their finger back at you and try to change facts and try to make you question your memory and things like that. And so when you're dealing with people, be strong, believe what you believe, and don't let other people cast any doubt upon what you know to be true. Okay? People can forget little details here and there, but you can't forget the big ones. And I think it was Maya Angelou that said, people may forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And when I think about all the times and the different things Chetan made me feel bad over the years, stressed out, whatever, I can't for a second go back and question my memory about the things he did, because I wouldn't have felt the things I've felt over the years had he not made me feel those things with his actions. And it's ludicrous, because when we got off the phone for half a second, I actually thought maybe I should call my friend Jeff and see if I am misremembering what this asshole did to us. But then I thought, no. This is the Donald Trump bullshit where people keep lying. A guy like this lies so much that they make you try to question your very legitimate memory. And that's how they fuck with things. They just throw falsehoods out there and they make you re-research things. Meanwhile, they research nothing in themselves. So stand strong. It doesn't matter if it's an ex-friend, a current friend, lover, boyfriend, parent, brother, girlfriend.
Don't tolerate the intolerable. People will treat you as bad as you let them. And manipulators like this are a dime a dozen. And it takes time, it takes wisdom, it takes age, it takes the accumulation of experience to be able to identify people like this. And it also takes courage and dedication to learn how to stand up to these people, because these people will treat you as bad as you let them. And what you find, and this Chaitin's a fantastic example, is you do this song and dance routine with so many people over so many years, you'll find yourself all alone. And hey, maybe that's okay for you. But you look at a Chaitin, and now he's in his mid-40s, back at his mom's place. No harm with that, by the way. But now he's finding he's got no social circle. He's got no friends. He's got no girlfriend, no boyfriend, nobody to talk with. Everybody's just sick of his shit. And, you know, the shit catches up to you. And so for you guys out there that may have somebody like this in your life, or an ex-friend, or maybe a current friend that's doing this shit to you, don't be afraid to find your voice and speak up. Call people out on their bullshit. Call people out on their manipulation of you. When you think you're being done wrong, vocalize it. Dig down deep down inside you and find your voice and say, this is not right. I'm not going to let you do this to me. When somebody lies to you and thinks they can get away with it, call them out on it and saying, you know what? This isn't right. When I look back on my whole relationship with this asshole, that one, you know, there's little things like, you know, here and there you can put up with certain friends. But when I look back on the totality of my relationship with this asshole, I think the end of it should have been way back 20 years ago, 21 years ago, when he fucked us over when we were going to Toronto. It's fascinating because, dude, that is such disturbing behavior. That's unforgivable to this version of me. And one last thing, I asked him, you know what, man, what were you apologizing for then? If it's not for all these things I'm telling you, you did, what were you apologizing for? He said, well, I was just thinking back to our trip to Miami. And I thought, you know, I was being selfish on that trip because you were getting mad and I didn't really know why. And now that I had time to reflect on it, I realized, you know, when you're traveling with a group, you have to cooperate with the group and you have to do what the group wants and you can't just do what you want all the time. And I said, Chaitin, that's not why I was mad with you in the Miami trip. I said, when we go on a vacation as a group, you can go do whatever the fuck you want. If you feel like going to one restaurant, you go to that restaurant. Not everybody has to do everything at the same time. I said, that's not why I was upset with you on the Miami trip that I invited you to. He's like, well, why were you upset? And I said, Chaitin, do you not remember? There were four of us and we only had a few days there, right? And there wasn't much sunlight. Like, you know, wintertime, the sun goes down. Even in Miami, it goes down early. It starts going down at 5 o'clock. I said, the problem was we would all get ready. We would all be ready and you'd still be sleeping the whole time. And then while we were all ready to go out and hit the town and explore, it was already noon and only then you would wake up after we'd been urging you to kind of get ready. And dude, you would, even at that point, you would take an hour. I remember the first day you took over an hour getting ready in the bathroom while the rest of us were waiting around. And I thought, dude, man, you're a guy. There's no reason why it should take you an hour to get ready. An hour plus. I think it took him more than an hour. And I said, you know, I thought that was absurd. Dude, like, it takes me, if I knew four people were waiting for me to go somewhere, I would not spend over an hour in a bathroom, right? And it's like, and I know the guy was putting on his fucking hair gel and his fake colored contact lenses for who, I don't know why. It's like, you know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig because the guy was like hundreds of pounds. But it's kind of like,
I said that my problem wasn't you doing your thing. My problem is that you just were you completely disrespected everybody else's time because you just made us wait like you're some fucking emperor. And so the next so when I was on to you right away when I saw your behavior, like expecting us all to wait for you ad nauseum. I said the next day, I wasn't even mad. I said the next morning, I said I'm not gonna fucking wait. I'm not an early riser either, but I wasn't gonna sit around watching you do the same shit and ruin my trip. So the next morning, when I got up, I went out on my own and I invited a couple of the other guys to go and get breakfast. Because we don't all have to do the same thing. And I'm not gonna wait around for you. I'm not gonna have my day running at 1 p.m., just because that's what works for you. But I wasn't even mad at you. But I found out when I went out to get breakfast on my own and walk around on my own, and I think Jeff came with me. I'm like, I found out through the grapevine, meaning my other friends, that you were all upset that I just took off and did my own thing. And it's like, do you not realize? First of all, I said, I don't even understand what planet you're on, dude. All the people, the people there were my friends. They're not your friends. They're nice to you because I'm friends with you, but they're not your friends. I don't understand why you seem to mistake my friends for yours because I happen to talk to you. So of course they told me that you were mad at me because I was mad at you. But I said, that's like the typical behavior of you to try to deflect and dodge. Like, so anyways, that Miami trip came up and I told him, dude, it's a vacation. You can do whatever the fuck you want. But I said, that's been the problem with you. You always want to be in control of everybody. So like you couldn't in real life, you didn't like the fact that I didn't really wait around for you because I didn't want to. So anyways, that's that. And that was our punctuation. So that's the end of my friendship with Chaitin. He will probably never get help, and if he does, I won't be there to see it, and I won't care either. I'm just really glad I finally, after all these years, had a chance to get this shit off my chest. And I've been on a run with this stuff because I've noticed people I've wanted to tell off over the years have kind of reemerged here and there. And now that I'm a stronger person, I'm taking great joy in the fact that I'm finally able to tell all these motherfuckers off how many years later. So, and his bullshit about, oh, well, you brood and hold grudges. I'm thinking, you mean I remember when you people fuck me over? You're damn right I do remember, so they don't do it again. And that's a typical bully mentality, right? It's like a bully does something bad to you, and when you complain about it, they're like, well, you're being too sensitive. And I love the bully mentality, the bullies, right? Because bullies never remember what they do to you. They get away with it, and then when you call them out on it, they're like, well, I don't remember it. And it's the same thing with this guy, right? He did all these things. I mean, I'm now calling him out on all this stuff. He doesn't remember any of it because he's fucked over so many people for so many years. He can't even keep track in his mind of all the things he's done to people. So that's my relationship with Chaitin the fat fuck. And I'm so glad I was able to put an exclamation point on this relationship, however good or bad, and good riddance. And I hope you guys have learned something from this very long-winded message too, this long-winded podcast, because it's interesting. I'm sure we all have friends in our lives, and as empaths and sensitive people, we often let these things boil over and we let them drag on way too fucking long. And I pray and I hope that you guys listening can identify poisonous and toxic relationships you guys have in your lives so you can put a quick end to them too and live a better, happier life. So thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you on the next one.